ready to get LinkedIn. We're rocking the world with LinkedIn. One show at a time. Join your fearless leaders, Mike and Lori, as they reveal insider secrets, chat with other LinkedIn gurus, and answer your LinkedIn questions. For those about to get LinkedIn, we salute you. This is your chance to get inspired and use LinkedIn to help you rock the world too. Now, it's time to crank it up to 11 for your hosts, Mike and Lori.
Time to rock the world with LinkedIn, Michael.
It is. We've got an international show today.
Again, we love them. And Mike, you are going to love Chris Smith. Now, I've had a chance to talk to Chris.
You get to vet the guests.
I get to vet the guests. And again, we met, obviously not in person yet because he's on the other side of the world. But we are interviewing Chris Smith today. That's S-M-I-T, Chris Smith, who is a cultural expert, and his website is culturematters.com. So, Chris, welcome to Rock the World with LinkedIn.
Hi, Lori. Hi, Mike. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, you're welcome. This is going to be a lot of fun. I know that you're going to spin Mike's head a couple times over, and like you did mine the first time. And I'm looking forward to it. And so, as our audience knows, typically we have an opening segment where Mike and I talk about tips and stuff, but there's just so much we're going to have to talk about. We're going to do the whole show.
All right.
Welcome to the show, Chris. I want to ask you some things about music eventually on the show here, but we want to know about the cultural differences, particularly we're moving into the whole European space as well as Mexico and China. Mm-hmm. What do we need to know about pick your favorite city, pick your favorite European city.
All right, it's time to go for a break and thank our sponsors for keeping us on the air, and we'll be right back with Chris Smith.
Time to thank the sponsors that help keep us stay linked in to you. More from Rock the World with LinkedIn when we return.
Looking for a white label SEO and social platform for your clients? Think
eBrands.
Free and unlimited SEO audit reports.
eBrands.
Premium Facebook apps and welcome page creators.
eBrands.
Twitter management app, analytics, and mobile site generators.
eBrands.
Let eBrands manage your search and social media campaigns and give you and your clients access to their white label dashboard, which have great reports that will wow your clients and deliver great ROI and results. Try eBrands for 30 days. Go to eBrandsWithAZ.com or call 1-866-625-5717. That's eBrands with a Z for
eBrands.
Oh yeah, my day is done. Time for happy hour.
You're already done for the day?
Yeah, because I use CertifiedKnowledge.org. Their PPC tools literally save me hours every day.
How do you keep on top of all of Google's new features?
Easy. With Certified Knowledge, their interactive learning modules keep me up to date. And if there's something I don't know, I can watch their video lessons without having to hunt around the Google help files.
Great. I'm ready to expand my knowledge.
Hi, I'm Brett Geddes. I'm the only leader officially supported by Google to teach the advanced track of the AdWords Seminars for Success. I personally recommend CertifiedKnowledge.org as your one-stop shop for all your PPC needs.
Learn, optimize, connect. Be smart. Go to CertifiedKnowledge.org now.
Johnson, what's this mantis I keep hearing about? Do we need to call an exterminator?
No, sir. Moby Mantis is our new SMS marketing tool.
SM what?
SMS. Text messaging. Moby Mantis lets us communicate directly with our customers in real time. We can send promos, coupons. It even lets our customers market for us by sharing offers with their friends online. It's been great for business.
Sounds expensive.
Actually, I sign us up for an extended free trial. It hasn't cost us a dime.
Good work, Johnson. I guess the only thing we'll be exterminating is the competition.
To get your free extended trial of Moby Mantis, text RADIO to 21691. That's RADIO to 21691 for Moby Mantis.
Warning! Listening to WebmasterRadio.fm daily may cause Webmaster insomnia and an increase in your company's profits. WebmasterRadio.fm.
Stay up with us all night long.
WebmasterRadio.fm. We're everywhere.
Mike and Lori are back as they rock the world with LinkedIn, only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
Mike, we're back.
We're back in the saddle again.
Back in the saddle again with Chris Mitt, our cultural expert from Belgium, who's a Netherlands native, and then speaking to us today from Skype. And I know it's odd hours for you today, Chris.
It is. But thanks for having me on the show again.
You're welcome.
If I could say somebody looks European or Scandinavian, I would say you look Scandinavian.
You certainly have the classic look.
You fit your country's reputation well.
Now, audience is going to want to go see what he looks like. So they need to go to Twitter and go to @ChrisSmitt, ChrisSmitt.
S-M-I-T.
Check him out on Twitter. He's a lot of fun. Well, Chris, talk to me about the cultural differences, because you said you moved to Belgium from the Netherlands. Which I used to think was multiple countries, by the way. But, you know, describe the differences between the North and the South.
Okay, well, indeed, I mean, your statement in terms of Belgium being two countries is to some extent correct and incorrect. I mean, federally, it's one country, Belgium, but they speak two languages. In the North of Belgium, they speak Dutch, and in the South of Belgium, they speak French, and it's more of a social conflict than a cultural conflict. The cultural differences between the two countries that share the language, which is the Netherlands, where I'm originally from, and Belgium, the country that I live currently in, is really phenomenal. I mean, it's the country or the two countries that share one border and one language that have the most cultural differences. There are other countries that share a border and a language. Think of Germany and Austria. Think of Canada and the U.S. But the cultural differences are not as much as they are between the Dutch and the Belgians. And if I can sort of emphasize on a cultural difference here, it's probably one of the easiest one to understand, which is hierarchy, whereby the Netherlands, hierarchy is relatively low. In other words, the boss is more of a co-worker and has somewhat of a different function. And in Belgium, the boss is really the boss. You can call him by his first name, but he's got definitely a different role and rank, and to the extent that he might not even get his own coffee. I'm exaggerating to some extent, but that's pretty much how it goes.
Right. That makes sense. You know, it dawns on me too, even if you look at the difference in how culture has progressed over the years. When I was growing up, the boss was the boss, and there was a structured hierarchy in the professional world here. And now it is much more flat. You know, when we're training companies, a lot of times, you know, the executives are right there with the sales team, or right there with the team that's being trained. And very much a part of learning, and people are not embarrassed anymore about what they don't know.
I had not realized this, but in Mexico, when we speak and train in Mexico, they're learning. Part of the learning process is learning how to speak English, not the content, English. But just the structure of the language. It isn't about the content.
Each time we've had, we speak from the stage in English because, I don't have any Spanish skills at all.
No,
to speak of none at all. But they, both times, all three times that I've spoken in Mexico, in Monterrey, Mexico City, we were there last year, and then this year in Monterrey again, they've had translators and they had the earpiece and they're mm-hmm. listening to us speak English out of one ear and quickly behind it hearing the Spanish in the other. And yeah. I mean, I put this translator up to my ear and it's hard to do that.
Chris, not everyone does it. You see, some do, some don't. It would be interesting to see what the statistics were of man or woman or experienced or not, or kind of where that comes from. I'll bet there's a science behind that.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to start laughing, but on the last gig to Monterey, there was a lady sitting up front and she was listening in English, didn't have the translator. And I said, I'm going to go into a personal story to describe, to kind of give you a sense mm-hmm. of what this means in real life, kind of a, call it a personal case study. As soon as I said personal case study, she picked the translator up and put it to her ear again and listened in both languages to the story and then put the translator back down. Yeah. And it caught my attention because she was on the front row. But I asked her afterwards, she came up to say hello and shake my hand. And I asked her, I said, I only saw you pick up your translator once. And she said, you said you were going to tell a personal story. I hoped to hear some colloquialisms.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
You know what a colloquialism is. That's a big word for Mike. We have to explain to him what a colloquialism is.
That's a big word to speak to someone whose native language is another language. Well,
and she
used a word like colloquialism.
Yeah, she spoke English very, very well. She was from Sigma Aliamentos, and mm-hmm. she spoke English very well, is constantly in and out of the different countries, and it was amazing.
Yeah.
But what do you experience? I mean, when you're in – when you're in conferences or things like that, do you have, everybody in the audience speaks the same language or translators or how does that work?
No, translators are not necessary. I mean, my work is either in English. When I talk about cultural differences, it's predominantly in English. Occasionally it's in Dutch, but that doesn't happen that much. But if I do workshops on cultural differences, then where I see the differences is that the Dutch having a low score on this hierarchy dimension, power distance it's called, they speak up. I mean, they converse with me. They talk to me and they see me as an equal. And when I do a workshop in Belgium, it's much more I am the professor and the trainer, or at least the head of the workshop as such. And hence they hardly ask any questions. Because the way people are educated here is in Belgium is significantly different from the way it's done in the Netherlands. Is if here in Belgium, if you want to say something, you raise your hand and you wait until the teacher addresses you, and only then you speak up. In the Netherlands, you just pitch in. You just interrupt and you go ahead and you blur out whatever you want to blur out.
So more conversational?
More reactional?
It's more interactive for sure. And and they're... What's maybe important to add there is there's no right and wrong in cultural differences. Eh? One culture is not better than the other. I mean, you can say the interaction is good because it enriches the discussion. But on the other hand, you could go off on a tangent as well and not end up anywhere when there's too much interaction. You might want to have it more structured because it leads to maybe a better defined goal. I don't know. So that's what I see a significant difference in working with Belgians and the Dutch.
In one case, it's a little easier to stay on track as a speaker than it is in the other.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely it is. And what I see, I mean, if I link culture and social media, maybe more particularly LinkedIn, if you look at the is it adoption or adaption rate, either word,
adoption
I don't know.
Rate.
Yep. Adoption rate of new things. Adoption rate of social media in the Netherlands is by far greater than it is in Belgium. Now, I don't want to put the Belgians down because you might be the one that adopts things really fast, but then you also run the risk of making mistakes. And the advantage of if you are a somewhat later adopter of something, then you might avoid those mistakes that the early adopter actually makes.
Right.
So it has both has advantages and disadvantages. And what I see here in Belgium when I talk about cultural differences is that the spread of social media is by far less than it is surely in the United States, surely in the UK. Also, it's much less spread than in the Netherlands, because the Belgians think they think and they mean it when they think that as well. They do business in a different manner. They do different in a business in a different way. It's more relational or on relationships based. And while a Dutch might look at a profile, or maybe even an American might look at a profile, you look at my profile, I look at your profile, and we can hit it off and talk, and we can do business. We don't need to know each other any further. And a Belgian wants to sort of suss out, who are you? What kind of person are you? So there's a meeting, and then there's another meeting. And that has to do with another cultural dimension, which is called uncertainty avoidance, whereby... Right. Uncertainty avoidance literally has to do with avoiding the uncertain. And if I don't know you, then, well, how can I do business with you?
Exactly.
So I need to know you better in order to do business with you.
Well, so certainly that's what's brought LinkedIn into the big fray from a sales standpoint, because it kind of came from a recruiting standpoint. You want to get to know your employee before you hire them, and mm-hmm. like dating and like sales. So, you know, you want to get to know someone a little bit more. And frankly, LinkedIn is great for that, isn't it?
Absolutely. Well, I think it is. I mean, absolutely. And this is the way that I generate quite some of my business, as a matter of fact. And that's the cultural difference to the extent that it becomes frustrating to some extent. I think LinkedIn is great. And many of the people that I work with and I see in my private life as well, say in Belgium, that is like, okay, well, we don't really need it. And I think, but it's so good. It's so great. Go and do something with it. But it doesn't take off as much as I would like it to take off. But that's not a bad thing. Neither is it a good thing that I think it's great.
Well, Chris, who's the most interesting person you've met on LinkedIn from an unusual standpoint? Any unusual?
Well, I need to think about that. Maybe it's you guys. I mean, this is not. I'm not trying to be really overly nice, but I stumbled across the podcast. I looked at both your profiles, and that was a very interesting combination, how you combine LinkedIn and rock music.
So you saw that and you still called us.
Eventually, I dropped the line in email, yeah.
Time to thank the sponsors that help keep us stay linked in to you. More from Rock the World with LinkedIn when we return.
Rise, links, and web indexes. Take a bow to the largest link map in the world, Majestic SEO. Majestic SEO wields its virtual sort with speed and accuracy to deliver detailed reports of your company's link data and that of your competition. Let Majestic SEO make you your own king of internet marketers. And join the crusade of clients and agencies that have chosen the noble choice for link intelligence. MajesticSEO.com. Maximize ROI to use your time and let Majestic wield its mighty sword. MajesticSEO.com. It's good to be king.
Building better search engine rankings takes the right formula. Tracking those rankings is super simple. All you need is AuthorityLabs.com. Authority Labs uses automated daily rank tracking tools to monitor your site's performance or leverage their API to build your own tools. No matter what animal-labeled algorithms affect your ranking, you should be using Authority Labs. Unlimited users for no additional cost and white labeling can help keep your clients updated and save countless hours of creating reports. Whether you're running sites with just a few or millions of keywords, what you need is AuthorityLabs.com.
How much time do you spend on SEO research and competitor analysis? What if we told you that there was an easier, faster way? SearchMetrics SEO software propels you to top positions on search engines around the world with our unique global search, social, and competitive data in over 60 countries. gain a competitive advantage today with searchmetrics.com. That's searchmetrics.com.
Radio's virtual Autobahn.
Webmasterradio.fm, moving at the speed of light. Webmasterradio.fm, we're everywhere.
Mike and Lori are back as they rock the world with LinkedIn, only on webmasterradio.fm.
Lori, it's been so fun with Chris.
It has been fun with Chris. So much awesome. Fun. So much fun with Chris that our audience may have noticed we forewent a expert interview today. I mean, how much more of an expert can you get than Chris?
The embedded expert interview.
The embedded expert interview. I love it. I love it.
It's a good thing Chris, it's not video because I'm blushing. You guys.
Who's your favorite band?
My favorite band. Uh-huh. I knew that question was going to come up. The thing is, I used to have favorite bands, but that was maybe leave the word rock out, but that was like Earth, Wind and Fire.
Oh, nice. Okay. Sorry. I like them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They were, you know, I think it was Earth, Wind and Fire that. Because when I was a kid, I didn't really pay attention to who was singing. I just paid attention to whether or not I liked that song. Mm. And I remember being 14 years old,
yeah,
and in the kitchen one day, and there's, you know, a bunch of guys and girls, you know, all the church youth group was over for a big shindig on a Saturday, and we're talking about different stuff, having a jalapeno eating contest, except, you know, I was referee and was not going to stick jalapenos in my mouth. But we started talking about music everybody liked, and, you know, I like different songs, and yeah, people kept saying, oh, that's Earth, Wind & Fire. That's Earth, Wind & I said, who are these people? He said, well, yeah, they're evidently a rock band that you like. Yeah. And then I thought maybe I should start paying attention to who's singing the songs I like. It was kind of an epiphany.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought they were a rock band.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah. I don't know if it's a rock band. You may have just said band
you added
or something.
That one, huh?
Yeah, it was a Freudian slip of the tongue.
Yeah, so. I didn't call it
still
a rock
around
band.
Too.
Yeah.
Still around.
They are still around, yeah. I mean, I can remember in the time that was in the mid-70s or end-70s or something like that, they were still on the singles on plastic. I mean, my kids don't know what a turntable is anymore.
Yeah, and Mike's got one.
We would listen like September, the song September from Earth, Wind, uh-huh, and Fire, and we couldn't make out the words because, I mean, my English has developed over the years, and then, I mean, I was like 16 or 9 or something like that. We couldn't make out the words, and time and again, we tried to dissect what they sang. And it's also not the clearest lyrics that they sing. I mean, Michael Jackson has got a good hand with that as well, not singing really clear.
Right.
But so did Earth, Wind & Fire, which was quite difficult to dissect. What were they actually singing? And because we wanted to understand what they were singing.
Anyway. So, Chris, let me ask, do you remember?
What is it? The something, something night in September, right?
The 26th of September.
The 26th of September.
Please don't sing.
Chris, if I were in the U.S. and someone from Belgium were to contact me, how would I act differently when I respond or work with them than if they were from the U.S.?
That's a good question. When I write proposals for doing cultural awareness workshops, I definitely look at who's the audience who's going to read it. So how you would respond is not in the typical American way as like, hi, Chris, how are you doing? Or hi, Laurie, let's sit down, let's do business. We know each other. I've looked up your profile, et cetera, et cetera. That's not how it works. It's if you would like to respond to a Belgian, and this is a very general statement, there are Belgians that definitely would have a different approach, but a general state answer would be, in terms of take your time, tone it down, don't be overly enthusiastic, because there's a very strong stereotype from, in general, Europeans toward Americans that all Americans are superficial.
And you right, go with, so you go I shouldn't act like store. A diva.
Sorry, I missed that, Lori.
I said I shouldn't act like a diva then.
I mean, you're in your own market. Act what works in your own market. But coming back to Mike's question, if there's a specific question from a Belgian, ask a question back, like, really, what do you mean, and how much detail you would like to have the answer in. And because the Belgians love detail. It has to be more detailed. While in America, you have a quick step guide, the 7 steps to become highly effective. I mean, we all know the book, I guess. And that would not take off in Belgium. You would have at least 77 steps to become highly...
77.
I'm not making jokes of the Belgians. It's just, it is, maybe more detail makes more sense.
Would a tip sheet in the Belgian area be more like an ebook?
Yeah, well, okay, that's overstating it, but definitely. Yeah, but you got the point. That's pretty much how it works, and that's at least my experience how it works.
Sure. Well, I've sure enjoyed the show. We keep going, couldn't we?
We could keep going, and perhaps going, we will. Chris, we'll have to have you back on because there's so many questions I have, that I want to ask, but. Do you have any fun rock and roll stories for us? Have you gone to any great concerts, experienced anything in the course of your life that is worthy of sharing?
This is rock the world,
I know. I knew you guys were going to ask this question, so I figured up front some sort of answer, and I hope it's going to fit the protocol. Well, I've been the last big, would you call it a rock, would you call Prince a rock star?
Yeah.
Oh, okay,
yeah, absolutely. He's on the wall.
Okay, that's good. I've seen Prince in a show called Rock Werchter, which is it's an enormous concert, and actually he came there by himself. I mean, with his band, evidently. But there were 40,000 people there, and it's an open air concert. So that was really fantastic. Many, many people there, and it was an excellent show. That was one of my most recent concerts. And a significant one for my youth, if I may. I think I was 16, and I went to my very first live concert, and I got tickets for, this is not a rock band, for Chic.
Wow.
Chic and the Freak. And these guys were actually performing in the center of Amsterdam in an old converted church. And then we had tickets, a friend of mine and I had tickets, so we went there, and we went very early. It was our first concert ever in our life, so we went really, really early. We had no idea where the entrance of the church was. So we ended up taking a back door off the church and finding and seeing these guys rehearsing for like 2 hours. That was way before the show, of course. And then one of the security guards walked up. We were just two kids, 16-year-old, and watching there and seeing these guys do their thing.
Wow. And then
we had to go out because the security guard saw us, and we said, well, we were at the concert, so it was kind of silly. But it was good fun, though.
That is good fun. You know, Mike always says, show up early when you go to a concert because you never know who the opening act is going to be, if they're going to be somebody big someday.
Yeah, and I like to wander around and get perspectives, so get the strategy for the concert down.
Yeah.
He has a strategy for pretty much everything he's passionate about, concerts notwithstanding.
Yeah, about two-thirds of the way through the show, I go walkabout for about 20 minutes. I just kind of tour the whole place around and kind of see the different perspectives from each side.
Yeah.
Sometimes 20 minutes is a little longer.
And you never come back then?
He comes back eventually, especially if he leaves me in the seat.
After the show, and there's always texting. No, what happens sometimes is you're wandering around and you work your way down front, or you find some great place and you go, you know what? I can't just come right back to here. I can't say I don't have the ticket stub that'll get me here. The guy wasn't looking, so I slipped down low and found those great seats down there. And thank God for texting, because Lori can join me too.
Right.
I've done that as well. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fun. Especially as the show goes on, you know, some people won't come, you know, won't make it. So there's open seats closer, or people leave early for some reason.
It's important for the good of the show for everybody that those low-level seats get filled.
You know, I thought he was full of crap the first time he told me that. But then when we started interviewing musical guests and talking to rock stars and stuff, they said, you know, sometimes we can't see very far out into the audience because the lights blind us from, you know, more than a few rows back. And three or four people have confirmed what Mike says. They love seeing a packed front of the house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would bet as an artist, seeing empty seats in the front row would be a real bummer.
Yeah.
Yeah. <Who knows? laughs> It's a demotivator.
Exactly. Well, Chris, it has been a lot of fun interviewing you today. Where can people find you and find out more about Chris Smith?
Best way to get in touch with me is through my website, culturematters.com. Otherwise, through Twitter, that would make sense as well. That's the @, and then Chris Smith, CHRISSMIT. And there's no H to that, so it's Chris Smith. That's it.
Perfect. Perfect. That's fabulous. So culturematters.com or on Twitter @ Chris Smith with only one H in the name.
Oops, don't confuse people now. But you're right. Yeah, yeah. Even I have to think about that one.
I'm going to make them think about it. All right. Well, thanks so much for joining us, folks. We'll be back next week at 7 o'clock Eastern Monday night with webmasterradio.fm. And you can pick up our podcast. Hey, if you listened to this show and you loved it, if you listened live, check out rocktheworldradio.com and subscribe to the rest of our podcasts. Listen to the rest of them and have a blast.
Thanks for rocking with us, Chris.
Thank you so much, guys.
This has been a presentation of WebmasterRadio.fm, the world's largest business-to-business radio and podcast network. We welcome you to sample past episodes of this program, as well as our complete library of programs, on demand or on the air via our 24/7 live audio stream at www.webmasterradio.fm. The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.